Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your house and open your word. Please open our hearts and minds as we get into your word to be able to understand it, to be able to apply it to our lives, to be able to grow close to you and build our trust and faith in you and in your word. Encourage us to share that as well. Help us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Bible study from A to Z and the word confidence. We can see some awesome examples of confidence throughout the Word of God. One of them we won't go into, but I'll just touch on generally, and that is the confidence that Noah expressed. And the confidence of taking on that task that the Lord gave him to build that awesome huge ship and to spend 372 days on that out there in them rough seas. You can't imagine how rough it must have been outside of that ark. But I imagine that the Lord made sure that they were comfortable and safe inside there. That they weren't bouncing around and getting knocked from side to side or knocked over. But it had to be pretty chaotic. It had to be pretty rough seas there for at least the beginning part of it. But being on there for 372 days, that'd be a long time. And it took great confidence to go into that ship when the Lord called them in there and to stay in there that long, knowing that they had so much turmoil on the outside, but yet they were so safe on the inside. As we could use that example, and knowing when we come into Jesus Christ, that He is our ark now. All the turmoil, all the chaos, all the storms that are on the outside, if we're in Jesus, we're safe and we're comfortable and we're taken care of. So we can learn from that one. But another example of confidence we see in the Scriptures in Genesis chapter 15, when the confidence of the words of assurance that the Lord was giving Abram to build his confidence in the covenant that he was making, that the Lord was making with Abram about the upcoming nations that would be a part of his bloodline. In Genesis chapter 15, in God's assurance to Abram to build his confidence, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." That's a confidence builder. When the Lord speaks to you directly and lets you know that He's the shield. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It's a verse that's repeated in the New Testament about the belief in the Lord counted for Abram's righteousness. His trust, his confidence in what the Lord was telling him. We should take confidence in what the Lord tells us, what we see and what we read in the Scriptures and the examples that are given to us from all the events of the time past that we have recorded that can help us build our trust, our faith, our belief and our confidence in the Word of God and in God Almighty Himself, in the finished work of Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at another one. We'll jump all the way over to Exodus. Now, Moses was called to lead the people, the children of Israel, out of captivity of Egypt. At the time, he was a shepherd out in a field keeping some flocks, and he seen this burning bush, and he approached that. And the Lord spoke to him out of that burning bush. and gave him assurance, built up his confidence, and sent him on a mission to take care of the task of leading his chosen people out of the bondage of Egypt. In the examples that we see in Exodus chapter 14 and 15, how on their journey, after they had been released, and they approached the Red Sea, and they're right there at the Red Sea, and the children of Israel began to cower in fear, thinking that, okay, Pharaoh and his troops are on their way. They're going to be slaughtered right there at the edge of the sea. We won't read the entire event that is recorded in Exodus chapter 14 and 15. But let's just pick up a few of them here. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" After all those plagues, and then that last plague, the death angel coming and striking the firstborn, they finally caved in and let them go. And now after they're gone, they think, "Well, why did we do it? Should have kept them." Because they had it pretty good. They were using the children of Israel as slaves, as servants. They were doing all the hard labor. The Egyptians didn't have to do it. So now they get into wondering, well, now what are we going to do? Who's going to do all this hard labor? So let's go get them back. That's what they basically wanted to do. Drop on down to verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And he said unto Moses, "Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away and to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" They didn't have any confidence after what they've been through, after what they've seen already, and yet right here they are at the brink of that. Now they're all just moaning and groaning and murmuring. Why did this happen? And then drop on down to verse 15 here, and we see the Lord's reaction to the reaction of the children of Israel, crying out to Moses and whining, and then the Lord, then Moses crying out to the Lord. And in verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get my honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." An angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. That took some courage, that took some confidence in what they saw, what was going on, to walk down through there and see the wall. Who knows how high that was, but it had to be a pretty large wall of water that was being held out, held back by the power of the Lord. And they would go down into that and walk across on dry ground. Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. That was a good confidence builder. Confidence in the Lord and confidence in Moses. But as we know, their confidence was short-lived. They murmured every time something went wrong. It didn't go, oh, we're thirsty, oh, we're hungry, oh, we're tired, whatever. They just moaned and groaned and whined through the whole thing. Made the Lord so mad that he said, fine, I'm just going to let y'all wander around for 40 years till all of you... Well, let's look at that account over in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13... They're right at the brink of being able to go across Jordan and go into the promised land. And they send some spies across. And the spies come back and they bring back some grapes and they bring back some other things to show them what a wondrous place it is. And as these men that went over there came back, let's look at Numbers chapter 13. In verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites, dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. In other words, very large, very good shape, huge, strong. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So the rest of them, other than Caleb and Joshua, were all cowering in fear, did not have any confidence in the Lord. And look in chapter 14 now. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. After all they've already been through, but yet, what happens? Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. That's the important verse there. These two men expressed confidence in the word of the Lord. He told them that he was going to bring them to a land that floweth with milk and honey. And they're right there at the threshold to be able to go over into that land. And only Caleb and Joshua are really proclaiming that. But look what the others say. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. They got the Lord's attention. He was very upset with them. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. The Lord was ready to just take them all out. But Moses steps in. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. That thou, Lord, art seen face to face. And that thy cloud standeth over them. And that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering, and of great mercy, forgiven iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Because Moses had the confidence that it took to be able to stand in the gap, as they say, to be able to stand there and ask the Lord to have mercy on them, the Lord abided by that. He showed them mercy. Because he says, And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Someone willing to step up and pray for them. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So he pardoned them. He let them actually be able to go out into the wilderness and die of old age out there, many of them. All of those that were over the age of 20 died because they went out into the wilderness and roamed around the wilderness for 40 years. And Caleb and Joshua were able to survive through all that and enter into the promised land at the end of this exodus, this quest to get all the way over there. And at the beginning of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, we see here as they're about to enter into the promised land. So this is going to be all of those that were under the age of 20 and Joshua and Caleb, because even Moses himself had disobeyed the Lord, got a little puffed up with pride, and it cost him his opportunity to be able to go into the promised land. He was able to look across from a high hill and see it, but he died before going over into the promised land. Miriam and Aaron were already dead by that time. But here, after 40 years after the event that we just read about, we see it picked back up in the book of Joshua, and we see here more words of encouragement and assurance from the Lord to Joshua about the task that Joshua is now going to have to undertake as being the leader of the children of Israel as they go into the promised land. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And from the wilderness, I won't go into those details. So he's right there at the brink, ready to go into it. Verse 9, Have not I commanded thee, this is the Lord speaking to Joshua, Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That was the great confidence builder that the Lord gave Joshua. And he hung on to that. He honored that. He honored those words and went boldly. You never heard anything negative about Joshua through his entire life, because he trusted and had ultimate confidence in the Lord, in everything that the Lord had said. And he went out into that new land, an awesome leader, and led those people right on into the promised land. Many more challenges and obstacles that they had to face, but they came through all that because Joshua had such awesome confidence in the Lord and he was an awesome leader of the children of Israel as they went into the promised land. All right, we'll pick it up next time with the confidence that David had and expressed when he faced Goliath. But let's close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. All these events that took place so long ago, these historical accounts of the awesome men of faith, and even the accounts of those that didn't have much faith, we can learn from all of it. We thank you so much for preserving your word for us, and help us always to have a hunger to dig deep into the scriptures, all the way back to the events of so long ago, and how we can learn from them to grow closer and closer to you, and to build our trust and faith in you and in your word, and give us all the confidence and assurance of our salvation and of your love and care and concern for us. And help us this week that we can utilize all that and bring honor and glory to you. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.